Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Alan Sweetbaum, and I represent Regency Realty Group. I'd also like to introduce my associate, Sean Wells, who is sitting at counsel table with me today. And I noticed that I don't think my my clock is running here, Your Honor. So
here we go. Okay. So far, is your
clock? Oh, yeah, it just started.
All right.
Okay.
Please proceed.
All right. Your Honors, obviously, as you know, this is an appeal from an order granting summary judgment in favor of the appellee Terracon, which dismissed all of the claims asserted by Regency Realty and the underlying action against Terracon. The basis of that summary judgment order was that Regency's claims were barred by the statute of limitations set forth in SIDARA, the Construction Defect Action Reform Act, and specifically the statute of limitations at issue, Your Honor, was CRS 1380-104, which very generally provides that an action must be brought within 2 years of the time the claimant discovers, or in the exercise of reasonable diligence, should have discovered the physical manifestation of the defect in the improvement which ultimately causes the injury. So in connection with that statute of limitations, Your Honor, in connection with the court's summary judgment order, we've raised three issues in the appeal. There are some issues which Terracon dealt with in their answer brief which are not at issue here. We're not talking about a causation issue, and we're not trying to revive the repair doctrine, the equitable tolling doctrine. The three issues that we have raised on this appeal and that I'd like to discuss today are, first, what is the physical manifestation of a defect? What constitutes a physical manifestation of a defect? And whether movement, which is within the tolerances which were predicted by the defendant in their initial geotechnical report, constitute a defect. The second issue is whether the statute of limitations was contractually, as opposed to equitably, was contractually told by the parties. And third, whether Regency's complaint gave notice of the claims regarding Terracon's actions in and after 2006, when the first notice of claim was served by Regency. And obviously, in connection or in the context of all of those issues, because this was a summary judgment order, obviously what we're talking about is whether or not there were questions of fact which precluded summary judgment. So let me address, to the extent that I can in my time, each of those issues separately. First of all, what constitutes physical manifestation of a defect? Briefly, some facts. I understand, obviously, you've read the briefs, and we've gone through the facts. Both sides have extensively in the opening answer brief and the reply brief. Your Honor, obviously, Terracon here is a geotechnical engineer. They were hired by Regency to do the soil studies, to basically make recommendations, or among other things, to make recommendations about what type of foundation should be used to do these buildings. They issued their report in 2002, before construction started, as would typically be the case with a geotechnical engineer, and it provided, obviously, recommendations. One of those was that the foundation could be, there was alternatives, but the foundation could be basically what's called slab on grade. And in that same report, Terracon stated for the specific type of foundation, one of the types of foundations that was recommended by Terracon, that movement of up to 1 inch could be expected. One of the issues that's not in dispute here is when substantial completion occurred, and that was in 2004. And it's also not disputed that sometime after substantial completion, also in 2004, Regency noticed some displacement of the concrete slab.
Mr. Sweetbaum,
yes.
If I may interrupt you, please.
Absolutely.
I'd like to push you forward a little bit in time. I want you to help me with this particular fact. In 2006, Regency informs Terracon, we've got trouble here. In fact, it was more than we've got trouble. It was a notice of claim.
It was a notice of claim, correct.
It listed a whole lot of things. Now, those things obviously were concerning enough to Regency to say, we're going to sue you. Now, or might.
That's an important distinction.
Why isn't that under United Fire Group? Why isn't that there a statement that Regency knows that there has been a manifestation of a problem that is significant enough that they should be on inquiry notice to be looking for the cause.
And there's no question. That notice of claim was issued in 2006. I prepared it, Your Honor, and it did set forth many, many different issues, potential problems at the property. The testimony, first of all, you have to know who the expert here is. The expert is Terracon. They're the geotechnical engineer, not Regency. Regency is the client. They have to rely on what Terracon says. And a notice of claim doesn't necessarily mean you will sue. It means you might sue. It's putting the other side on notice that there are some problems, there are some potential problems, and specifically under SDARA, it's giving them an opportunity to come out and to look at those problems and to address those problems and to potentially fix those problems. And that's exactly what happened here. What Terracon did when they got that notice of claim in 2006 is they came out again. They had, by the way, come out in 2004. They had come out in 2005, and they had issued reports. And what they had said in all of those reports was that most of the movement had already occurred, that the movement was within tolerances originally predicted and anticipated. What happened after the 2006 report, after the 2006 notice of claim came out, was they came out, they performed another investigation, and they issued another report, and this time what they said was the movement was caused by perched groundwater. And they recommended a specific fix to it, which was to install what they call an interceptor drain. And that's exactly what Regency did. And it's our position, Your Honor, that with respect to that notice of claim, it was sent out in an abundance of caution. The testimony, remember, it's a summary judgment, so there's no trial testimony. The deposition testimony of John Romero, who was the property manager on site, basically said what the problem that was that he was noticing, the problem that he believed was something that he had to bring to the attention of the lawyers in the Terracon, was that there was his maintenance budget that was going way over budget. And there was movement, and there was cracks, and there was heaving, and all those things were going on. And what Terracon, who's the expert, who Regency has a right to rely on, then they come out and they say, perch groundwater, install the interceptor drain, and it will fix it. That's what Regency relies on.
Is that the negligence that you then claimed in a later lawsuit, or is it the negligence that occurred back in before 2006?
Is what the negligence?
What is the negligence that you tried to sue over?
Well, I think it's the totality of everything that Terracon did.
When you sent your notice in 2006, you were attempting to comply with the notice requirement of SDARA, right? Do you believe your notice complied with the requirement of SDARA?
Do I think it complied with? Yes, I believe it did.
And the SDARA says that the notice of claim must contain a description of the alleged defect, right? It says that, and that's what you were doing in your letter.
That's, well, in the notice, that's exactly what I was doing. Yes.
And if the statute says when you discover the physical manifestation of a defect, the statute of limitations is that, it obviously is connected up to the notice of claim. It seems so straightforward that once you serve a notice of claim, because you know of a defect, the statute of limitation must begin to run.
But we also know, Your Honor, that SDARA contemplates that the party to whom the notice of claim is directed gets an opportunity to come in and fix it.
Absolutely. They got 2 years or so to fix it, really. Or you have 2 years to be satisfied with their fix, is another way to put it. But you have the 2 year period, which they tried to do here. But you said, out of abundance of caution, you filed a notice of claim. Is it also possible that out of abundance of caution, you ought to have filed a lawsuit within 2 years if you weren't satisfied with the fix?
Well, except we didn't know we weren't satisfied with the fix until 2009. That's when the problems began occurring again. That's when we hired another geotechnical engineer who basically came in and said, there is a problem here, and the problem lies with Terracon. Well, so we didn't know exactly what was going on until 2009, and that's why I think this case is not the United Fire case, as you indicated, Judge Bernard, but I think it's the Stitt versus Building case, where it really goes to what is the definition of a defect. Is a defect that's within tolerances, is that constitute a defect within the statute of limitations? And it's our position that it cannot be. That's exactly what Stitt said. Stitt is the law, just as United Fire is the law. And I think the only way to try to make sense of all is to try to find some consistency between those two cases. And I think in United Fire, what happened was there was obviously a fire A fire is not something that's anticipated. When you've got a fire, something you know went wrong.
Well, let me stop you there, Mr. Sweetbaum. No, you don't. You don't know anything's wrong. It could have been arson. It could have been improper storage of materials.
That is true.
Don't automatically know there's a construction defect.
That is true. You're right. But there's certainly a fire is much different than movement of a concrete slab that is within 1 inch, which is what was predicted by the geotechnical engineer.
But that's not what your notice of claim was limited to. It identified doors that wouldn't open and shut, windows that were broken and twisted, cracking in drywall, just to name a few, all kinds of things, not just some slabs are moving. Okay, why aren't those manifestations, physical manifestations of a defect?
Well, and my answer to that is that because what Terracon was telling us is that it was within tolerances.
But why does it matter what Terracon is telling you? The statute begins to run upon the physical manifestation of a defect. It doesn't say anything about what the party who is allegedly at fault tells you. It doesn't say anything about that. You have notice, physical manifestation of a defect, the clock runs. You've got 2 years, okay? Now it's your choice if you want to go back to the party that caused the problems you complained about in the notice of claim. If you want to go back to them, that's your choice. But that doesn't relieve you of the responsibility of acting within the statute of limitations.
Let me ask a rhetorical question, if I might, understanding you may very well choose not to answer. I expect you not to answer. But I mean, then we know that work was done after the 2006 notice of claim. An interceptor drain was installed. There's argument that could be made it actually made the situation worse. When does the statute of limitations begin to run with respect to that work? And I think that in my opinion highlights what the problem is in determining where the statute begins to run.
Well, but that's a different issue, and I will answer your question because first of all, Terracon didn't install the drain. Somebody else installed the drain. Okay, so if there's a problem with the drain installed by somebody else, that's a claim against somebody else. But it also raises this issue of whether the complaint put Terracon on notice that you were making any claim relating to this later contract. That's a separate issue.
Right, that's our third issue. Right. It is a separate issue, I agree with you. But I think that's also an important issue because what Judge Crabtree at the trial court basically said was there was no notice that the complaint could in no way be interpreted to include those claims. And I think that was a mistake, that was error, and that is one of the issues that this court can choose to reverse the summary judgment
order. Well, counsel, you were served with an interrogatory that asked you to identify every contract to which your complaint referred, every single one, and your response was one contract, Master Consulting Services Agreement. That was the only contract you identified in response to that interrogatory. That contract was entered into in 2003. You didn't identify the 2007 contract.
And that's the contract from which everything else flowed. That's the contract from which all of the reports were issued. That is the contract from which, I mean, that's the main contract under which we are suing, and we think that can reasonably be construed to also mean the work that was done in 2006 and 2007.
But the 2007, don't you concede, that's a separate contract. That wasn't part of the original scope of work in the 2003 contract. It wasn't part of the 2006 work. This is a new contract, and yet, when asked point blank to identify the contracts you're relying on, you didn't identify it.
I understand, and I think though, look, if you look at again everything that occurred, I think it could reasonably be construed that is in fact we were suing also on what the work that was done that they came back and tried to fix. I have a minute and 15 seconds. If I could reserve that time.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sweetbaum.
May it please the court, Jason Buchanan on behalf of Terracon Consultants, Inc. Your Honors, the question before the court is not what Terracon did or did not do. The question is, what did Regency know and when did they know it? Because that is what triggers the statute of limitations under SEDARA. And as this court has already pointed out, one of the critical facts in the case, which is undisputed, is a formal notice of claim was issued by Regency to Terracon for the defects that underlie the claims in this case in April of 2006. So it is undisputed in April of 2006 that Regency and its attorneys were aware that these defects existed at the site and were claiming that Terracon, at least in part, was responsible for them being there. I'd like to discuss briefly under Sedera what it means to institute a claim under the statute, and I think part of this was already discussed earlier, but when you serve a formal notice of claim, you must serve it in a written notice of claim form in compliance with Sedera Statute 13-20-803.5. The notice of claim must reasonably describe the alleged defect, its type and location, and the alleged injuries or damages caused by the defect. The notice of claim served by Regency in April of 2006 specifically referenced this subsection of Sedera. It specifically stated that this was being served prior to the filing of a lawsuit and that they understood that this was beginning that formal process.
And Mr. Sweetbaum said it complied with the notice requirement in answer to my question.
That's correct, Your Honor. And it specifically identified the defects that Regency knew existed at the time on the project. And one date that was not discussed so far in oral argument is the complaint in this action was not filed until March of 2010, which is 4 years after the original notice of claim was served on Terracon. It is also undisputed that there was testimony by Regency's project manager that they were aware of the claim defects by the latest 2006, including excessive slab movement on the interior and exterior of all three buildings at the project. And that's at the Record of Appeal, page 295. It was cited and discussed in our brief. Furthermore, the project manager testified that in 2006, Regency had been chasing that problem for 3 to 4 years by that point. These problems were well known to Regency. They knew it. They believe, at least in part, that it was the responsibility of Terracon that had caused the defects. That's what is set forth in the notice of claim, and we have to take it at its word. There is nothing contrary in the record before this court to that undisputed evidence. The only undisputed evidence before this court, before the district court below, was that Regency knew these defects existed in 2006, and they waited to file the complaint until 2010.
Was there any act of negligence alleged in the 2010 complaint that did occur within 3 years of the complaint?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Was there any act of negligence alleged in the 2010 complaint that did occur? Within the 2 years prior to the complaint?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor. The complaint generally referred to original design and construction, and it had some general allegations. It did not specifically identified any acts that occurred within 2 years of that time frame, and it, to my knowledge, the Terracon did not do work on the project within 2 years of that time frame prior to the filing of the complaint.
Well, Mr. Buchanan, they did make, well, not within 2 years, but outside of 2 years, they made a recommendation in that 2007 report to install the drain. And even though Terracon did not install the drain, it was the recommendation that was the alleged problem, okay, that was deemed to be later a faulty recommendation, and the contention is that they couldn't know that that was a faulty recommendation until, well, the drain's installed and it doesn't work, which was within 2 years. So how do you respond to that?
I agree that that's the allegation currently before the court. I do not agree that that was an allegation that the case was litigated on before the district court. It was not raised until for the first time in opposition to summary judgment on the statute of limitations. And as the court properly pointed out earlier, we sent a pattern interrogatory asking for them to identify the contracts that they were claiming were alleged in the pleadings to have been breached. And the only contract they identified was for the original design and construction under the Master Terms Consultant Agreement dated 2003. They never identified a breach of that 2006 post-construction contract. And we were not aware that that was at issue. I'd also like to point out, and the district court specifically notes this in its order granting summary judgment, that in other pleadings to the district court, Regency has specifically stated that the claimed damages arose under that original contract, and they never referenced the second post-construction contract. And I'd also like to furthermore point out that the recommendations that Terracon made in that 2007 June report under the second contract, they made two separate ones. One was to put foundation drains in, which would be more expensive, which would be a better fix, and one that would simply potentially reduce the movement, which is the interceptor drain. That's the one that they decided to put in. And it specifically states in the report, reduce movement, not eliminate movement. And I'd also like to point out, this is in the record, they hired an independent engineering firm to do their own analysis of the problems immediately upon when Terracon issued that report in 2007. They came to the exact same conclusions. In fact, they came to the conclusions that the excessive movement at the project was due to problems with the architectural and civil design. That report was issued. They are the ones who actually designed the drain and oversaw the installation of the drain. That evidence is in the record. Terracon had no role in that. Their role ended upon issuing their June 17, 2007 report. And as far as I know, that's the last work they completed on behalf of Regency on this project. And certainly, Regency was on notice and at least was aware of the defects that underlie the claims in this case in 2006 at the latest.
Mr. Buchanan, if I may, please, I'd like to ask you a hypothetical. Assume for the purposes of argument that no 2006 notice had been filed and that the argument was, well, Terracon, from the very beginning, the argument was, Terracon, your mistake was in recommending this drain. And we only could get, you know, the notice that there was a defect when the fix didn't work. Wouldn't that be, assuming that they filed that within 2 years, wouldn't that be viable?
I agree under the hypothetical posed by the court that if they do not discover the physical manifestations of a defect until the two-year period, such as under the hypothetical, that's what triggers the statute of limitations. But I'd also point out that there's no evidence in the record before the court that there was any physical manifestation of defect related to this alleged drain. Okay. That's purely argument at this point. I'd also like to point out that the record is replete with, again, uncontradicted evidence that repairs were actually made, and that's what led to the notice of claim. They actually replaced the slabs on the interior and exterior of these buildings, and there's testimony in the record about that. Obviously, you only repair defective work. So again, there's just no question that they were on notice about these defects existing well in advance of the 2 year statute of limitations running under Sedera. They waited too long, and the district court was proper in its ruling holding that there were no disputed issues of material fact and that the 2 year statute of limitations had run. I'd like to address briefly a couple of the points that were raised today.
I have a question for you.
Certainly.
Would you suggest that once a notice of Sedera claim is served, that a claim must be filed within 2 years after that date, and it's a per se rule? As a per se rule, that the statute of limitations starts to run once the notice is given, and any claim filed can be very straightforward, very simple. 2 years later, you don't file the claim, you're out of luck on those claims. That's what you're arguing happened here, but should there be a per se rule on that?
I suppose you could always think of exceptions to every rule, but to me it is definitive proof that a claimant is aware of the defects at the project, and those defects would be precluded if they waited beyond the 2 year statute of limitations from the date of filing the notice of claim. I think under these facts that is the only logical conclusion. Again, I know there could always be factual circumstances that might differ. In terms of the three issues the council raised today, and council opened up by saying they weren't arguing causation as an element to trigger the statute of limitations, I will state that in the briefing before the district court, and of course that's what is being reviewed by this court, that's exactly what was argued, and I have a quote from their brief below where they stated that the construction defect statute of limitations, and in the court's analysis in Stiff, they concluded that, quote, the limitations period begins to run when the plaintiff knew or should have known of the damage and its cause. That's in the record on appeal, page 406. They underlined the word and in that sentence to emphasize to the district court that they were claiming that they had to know about the defect and its cause prior to triggering the statute of limitations. So that was the argument made to the district. I know that they are not necessarily making the same argument on appeal here today. The second issue, I think I've addressed the first one about that Regency certainly knew about the physical manifestations of the defects of the project. The second one, about the tolling agreement, that does not appear anywhere in the brief below. They do not discuss the tolling agreement. They do not reference the tolling agreement. They do not argue to the district court that the tolling agreement somehow precludes entry of summary judgment on the statute of limitations. Now, it is true, Terracon did raise the issue in its opening brief and summary judgment below the district court, and it argued that by its provisions, the tolling agreement ended when Terracon issued its June 17, 2007 report.
And the trial court refers to the tolling provision, doesn't it?
That is true, Your Honor. But the alternative argument was never made below, that there was some alternative date that that tolling agreement expired other than the June 17, 2007 date, which is when Terracon issued its final report. So that argument was not made below, and it's new on appeal, and I would suggest that it's improper at that because it has been raised for the first time on appeal.
What statute did they think they were tolling by virtue of that tolling agreement but this two-year statute limitation that was then running against them? It seems kind of, it's kind of a rhetorical question. I don't really mean an answer, but what statute could they possibly have been tolling but this two-year statute?
Oh, I agree, Your Honor, that the tolling provision, at least in a light most favorable to Regency, would apply to the Sidera statute of limitations. That's why we raised it to the district court below. All I'm saying is they never argued to the district court that that tolling provision had a different ending date other than June 17, 2007. And that's a critical date in terms of...
And the suit was not filed even within 2 years of that date.
No, March 2010 is when the suit was filed. And actually, if you really looked at from the date that they issued the original notice of claim in April of 2006 to when the parties entered into their agreement in early 2007, almost a year had elapsed prior to even entering into the tolling agreement. So it's really about 3.5 years where the tolling agreement was not in operation that had elapsed from the time the notice of claim was issued. In terms of the third issue about what was alleged in the complaint, and we've already discussed the sworn interrogatory answers where they only identified the original contract, and we've already discussed the representations they made in pleadings about all of their damages arising under the original contract and not the 2007 agreement. And I think for those reasons and the fact that they never moved to amend to add any additional claims, at the time the court issued its ruling, we were approximately 1 month from trial. I did not check the date before oral argument, but I believe we were past the deadline for discovery, and I know we were over a year past the deadline to amend pleadings. And so based on their sworn interrogatory answers, their representations to the district court that their damages solely arose under the original contract, which of course is a essential element to any breach of contract claim, I think the district court was well within its broad discretion to deny any additional claims at that point in time. If the court has nothing further, I think I'm done at this time, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, counsel. Okay, Mr. Sweetbaum, let's see if the clock will reset for us.
I didn't want to forget my watch. I realized it was sitting up there.
With the minute 12 seconds I have, let me address the issue of contractual tolling, and I'll try to do this in the minute and 7 seconds I have. What the tolling agreement says, it was a handwritten agreement. It was contained on the back of the 2006 Terracon report, and what it says is both parties agree that any statute of limitations is tolled during the time in which Terracon is performing the services. What the trial court held was, as was indicated by appellee's counsel, that essentially that tolling agreement expired by its own terms on June 17, and I actually think he meant June 18 because that was the date of the report, June 18, 2007, when Terracon issued that final report. But there was testimony of John Romero. There was a deposition was submitted in support of the summary judgment response, which said that the services continued beyond that period of time, that Terracon had an obligation and did in fact monitor throughout the entire installation, completion, and performance of the interceptor drain.
How long was that?
That's a question of fact. We think it went well into 2009.
So did you argue that to the trial court? That the
Well, Your Honor, this was an issue that we think came up sua sponte by the trial court. And I think that's why this issue was sufficiently preserved and is an issue that can be raised here. That's a question of fact.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you both, counsel, for your arguments today. We appreciate them very much. The case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course. Please be careful driving home today.